We talk frequently about healthcare in our country and frequently on the program as well. Even if we didn't have the gigantic issue of universal health insurance to talk about, there are the health issues themselves, like obesity and diabetes, for example, both raging in the United States. Today's guest would not be the first to point out that we tend to treat diseases rather than getting to know people and their issues when they're healthy, the better to deal with the issues that arise later. Or as today's guest puts it, we have sick care, not health care. Rick Kirschner trained as a naturopathic doctor, or ND, years ago. He'll deliver a talk tonight at the Havara in Ashland at 7 called When Healthcare Became Sick Care, The True History of 20th Century Medicine. Rick Kirschner has joined us many times before. He also has written a couple of books. How to Click with People, I think, was the last time we had you in here. So, Rick Kirschner, welcome back to the Jefferson Exchange.
Nice to be here. I got up this morning and looked out the window and thought of a Simon and Garfunkel song I haven't thought of in years. It goes, a winter's day in a deep and dark. Wait a minute, it's April.
Yeah, right. It really is. The middle of April. And here we are talking about the winter's day. But we'll take it when we can get it.
That's right.
Any snowpack is good snowpack. So tell us a bit about yourself. You obviously have worn many hats over your life. And it's been a while, you mentioned, since you have practiced as a naturopath.
Yeah, I graduated in 1981 from National College in Portland, which at the time was the only naturopathic medical school, trying to learn to say it one way. I'm going to do this publicly. It's either naturopathic or naturopathic, and nobody's ever made up their mind. So I'm trying to stick with one, naturopathic. So I'll come back to that. But I went to the only school we had at the time, four-year medical school in Portland. Now there are 7 in North America. So things have changed quite a bit since the time that I graduated. And I practiced from 81 to 87 and then wound up going full-time into my speaking and training and writing.
Well, there have to be some things you have to know about the human body, anatomy, the way organs work, all that sort of thing. So where does the path to an MD diverge from the path to an ND, which you got?
Well, I haven't gone through the MD training, so I don't have anything up close and personal, just, that same observation from the outside. Naturopathic medical school is a 4-year program. It takes 3 years of conventional pre-medical education to get in. There are, I believe, 17 states now which have different scopes of practice for naturopathic physicians. So things have developed for us and have moved forward. I think that when you go to a conventional medical school, instead of learning about nutrition and, how to maintain and restore health, the education is really targeted at tagging and bagging problems. If we have a name for it, then we can have a prescription for it. Name for it, prescription for it. Prescriptions don't work, we have a procedure for it. So I think it's a very different kind of training. And one of the interesting developments in the last few years is that more and more MDs are moving in the direction of natural medicine. You've heard it as integrative medicine, functional medicine. And some of these people have been around for a very long time. David Jones here in Ashland, for example, is an MD who I think practices a very high order of health care rather than just sick care. So things are changing and developing for sure.
Well, the nature part of naturopath would indicate that this is a little less perhaps about modern chemical substances and all the other things that are so common to medicine. Is that a fair assumption?
Yeah, I think, one of the things I'm going to talk about tonight is there's been this schism in medicine from ancient times. And it's between, I'm going to call it Asclepius and Hygieia. Hygieia is the daughter of Asclepius in Greek mythology. Asclepius learned how to make potions and do surgery from Chiron the centaur. His daughter, Hygieia, who is also invoked, by the way, Asclepius and Hygieia are invoked in the Hippocratic Oath, at least in its original form. Hygieia was more about preventing illness and restoring health. Asclepius was more about treating illness with drugs and surgery. So this goes way back. In a naturopathic medical program, we're learning how to use natural substances, things that have been given us by the earth, how to look at the whole patient and not just treat something that we've tagged, but treat the whole person.
Can we guess from the name Hygieia that perhaps this is the source of the term hygiene?
That's exactly right.
Does in itself assume that you're going to do a certain level of maintenance and care and cleaning and things like that, just to make sure that you can have a baseline of health to start with?
That's exactly right. And in fact, many of the advances that have been made in human health for the human race have come from hygiene, from sanitation, from cleaning up our environment and being more respectful of what we put into our own systems.
But anybody who is a defender of medicine as currently practiced in the country, the non-naturopathic way of looking at things, would think, well, we have these great these great advances. We have these machines that can do wonderful things. We have substances that can do wonderful things. We can ward off cancer with chemotherapy and stuff like that. So what's the problem, I think the question would be.
Well, so what I think is going to be fun to deliver tonight is the story of how we got here, because there's the story you're told and the story you're not told. And I'm going to fill in the blanks to give the bigger picture of how we got here. I think there's a time and a place for everything, and I certainly don't mean to knock MDs who practice conventional medicine. There's a time and a place for that. In fact, I think of my own parents who had horrible lifestyles, made terrible health choices, and thanks to the drugs and surgeries, surgical procedures provided by their doctors, they lived very long lives, and I'm grateful to have had them as long as I did. There's no question that based on the choices they made, they would have been gone much sooner had they not had access to that kind of care. But that kind of care isn't for everybody. Some people really want a high quality of life the whole time they're alive. So if you want a high quality of life the whole time you're alive, you approach your health differently than if you only do something when something goes wrong.
Rick Kirshner's our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. His presentation tonight at the Havre in Ashland called When Healthcare Became Sick Care, The True History of 20th Century Medicine. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange when we return from this break. And on the way to the break, I'll remind you, with an ever heavier hand as the day goes on, this is the final day of Spring Fund Drive at JPR. We keep programs like this on the air with the support of you, our listener. 888-552-6191 to make a pledge of support by phone, 888-552-6191, or online at ijpr.org. Thank you, and back on the Jefferson Exchange with Rick Kirshner and you in a minute five. Back on the Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. Our guest today is Rick Kirshner, who has an ND after his name, not MD. ND standing for naturopathic doctor. He's decided to go with that pronunciation, naturopath instead of naturopath. Trained many years ago, kept his license active until the late 80s, and now does a lot of other things, including writing books about how to get along with other people. He's delivering a talk tonight at the Havre in Ashland at 7 called When Healthcare Became Sick Care, The True History of 20th Century Medicine. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange as we talk about medicine and where it goes and where it doesn't and should, perhaps. Our number on the Jefferson Exchange, 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area, or send emails to jx@jeffnet.org. Rick's picture should be up on our Facebook page by now as well. We were just recounting the fact that you actually hosted the show once.
That's right. That was my chair for a day, queen for a day.
Uh-huh. With about 12 hours notice, I hear, too.
Yeah, I got a call the night before. This is when Jeff was here. Jeff Golden was here, and he had his bike accident. So I filled in for him that very first day. And I have to tell you, it's a fun spot you're in.
It is.
It's
it
a very
is.
Fun spot you're in.
I've enjoyed it full time for almost 5.5 years.
Well,
now,
you're pretty much built for it. So
thanks. I appreciate it.
Although you had more color in your hair when I first saw you sitting across this table.
Okay, that's enough of this discussion. All right. So your critique of medicine is generally about the approach that goes on in conventional medicine. And I'm getting the sense from the prep material I've read about your talk tonight that one of the issues is you feel like it's also been an effort to exclude things like naturopathy from the medical choices that people have.
No question about it. And in fact, tonight I'll lay out that case. I think it's really interesting, and people should know about this, how we came here and how is it that the medicine that got the human race all the way to the 19th century and into the 20th suddenly taken away as an option, and people were conditioned to believe they really only had a few choices, surgery, drugs, radiation, when they had serious health problems. That's not true. They have other choices. And, you know, think about this. A lot has changed. My profession was founded in America in the early 1900s, and a lot has changed in the 100 years since it was founded. Consider our present state. Food is irradiated, pasteurized, and frequently had its genes modified. Municipal water supplies now have excreted drugs from uppers to downers, from mood enhancers to muscle relaxers. And they're not filtering all that stuff out. The air we breathe could be poisonous due to persistent chemicals and even radioactive particles. Our kids get dozens of vaccines before they go to school. And all the members of a family are very likely today to be taking pharmaceutical products of some kind. Dad on Viagra, Plavix, and Lipitor, Mom on Prozac with a little help from Ambien, and little Billy and Susan on Ritalin and Adderall. I think that's sick. That's not healthy. That's not good for the future of America. It's not good for the world.
So a couple of points in here. You say this is the medicine that got us to the 19th century. We're talking about Eastern medicine. Is this basically what naturopathy embraces?
No. In fact, that's what's so interesting and why I'm really excited to give this talk. People have been using natural medicine forever. And we're talking about the use of plants for medicine, diet for medicine, earth, air, sun, water. These things have therapeutic effect. And that knowledge would, I think, be lost in the modern time if it wasn't for the natural medicine doctors who struggled to hold on in the face of incredible opposition and a very determined effort to eliminate their competition to the system that was installed.
But does naturopathy submit itself to studies to see the efficacy of what happens and whether it is effective?
Well, so this is one of the main claims that has been leveled against natural medicine doctors, is that they're not scientific and that modern medicine is scientific. Well, that was a branding effort that took place in the early 1900s to change from the regular doctors to the scientific medicine doctors. But science doesn't belong to modern medicine. Science belongs to all of us. Science is a method. It doesn't pick sides. The whole idea of science is to have an hypothesis and then test your hypothesis by trying to disprove it. And if it remains standing, you go, maybe we're onto something. That's very different than looking for proof of things that support what you want to have happen. Science is meant to separate fact from fantasy, and naturopathic doctors study the same basic sciences as conventional doctors. And naturopathic education is all about this, you know, learning how does our physiology work? How do things interact with that? How do we wind up having health problems?
So what are some of the cornerstones of naturopathy, that the kinds of things that you would do for patients? I mean, you're going to deal with things like broken bones the exact same way, aren't you?
Yeah. In fact, when I was in school, I learned how to treat all the same aches, strains, pains, and swellings that drive people to a doctor's office. I learned how to deliver babies, how to set broken bones, how to suture lacerations, all of that kind of stuff. But that stuff is reacting to things that present themselves in an acute way. I think that there are chronic problems that are not just think, I know there are chronic problems plaguing the human race at this point in our history. Like you were saying earlier, obesity is just off the charts, diabetes off the charts, heart disease off the chart, cancer off. I think a child born after 2000 has a 1 in 5 chance of getting cancer and a 1 in 3 chance of getting diabetes. That's insane. And it wasn't like that 100 years ago. So how did that happen? And I would say that relying on pharmaceutical products for our health has led us to this place that we're in.
The sense that if something is wrong, take a pill. There's
exactly
some
right.
kind of pill that'll help it.
A pill for every ill is the mindset of most Americans when they have health challenges. And I don't think that's healthy. And I think if you know the whole story of medicine and how the system got put into place, you can see where your other options are more clearly.
I wanted to follow up on a couple of other things that you said when you were riffing on a couple of things about the way we view the world and our health right now. You mentioned water supplies and excretion in the same sentence,
yeah.
And I wanted to be clear that we're talking are we talking about what comes out of us and goes down into the sewers?
That's exactly
okay.
Right.
Not what's coming into us.
No. If people take lots of drugs and then they use a restroom, where is that all going to go? And do our municipal systems filter that stuff out? And the answer is no. We're talking about micromolecules. The filters don't remove a lot of that stuff. So the result is when we're drinking municipal water, we're involving ourselves in the pharmaceutical life of the other people that live in our communities.
But we don't drink what we put out. I suppose if your intake is downstream from where another city puts their stuff out, and is that what you're saying?
Well, I don't know everything about municipal water supplies. So when I make this claim, all I'm referring to is that municipal water supplies tend not to filter out the molecules of pharmaceutical byproducts. And you know, we're not drinking all new water all the time. We're processing our water and then reusing it. So I think this is just one of the many things that contributes to where we're at.
Let us take a phone call. We have Wolfgang in Sunny Valley on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Rick Kirshner.
Good morning, Rick.
Good morning.
Good morning. I don't have an MD after my name. I have an HP after my name, which stands for Heilpraktiker. And my experience goes a little further than just sick care versus health care, because what I did is I told people, I explained to people what happens. I explained to people what they can do, simple things, okay? And Some of them did, but most of them wanted me to treat them. They wanted me to take care of them. And I find that sort of disempowering. And that gets back to what you were referring to with Hygieia and Asclepius. Actually, it's the other way around. Hygieia, in a way, was Asclepius' mother, because whenever patriarchy comes in and you learn, society learns, that the priests know and you don't, and later on, of course, the medicine priests know and you don't, or later on where it was by penalty of death, you could not even open a body, you were not supposed to know. Medicine was owned by the church. So the disempowerment of, from the beginning on, women knew the herbs, women knew the body, they made it for crying out loud. And then eventually they got burned. So this whole trend, this whole biography, so to speak, you were talking about history, of where we got, how we got to where we are, and that we call double-blind, placebo-controlled, I call it double stupid, because you know where I'm going with this one. You can't know by way of science what's good.
Okay, let's get a response. Thanks for that, Wolfgang. Good to hear from you. Rick?
Well, thanks for your comment. I'm not sure what to say in response to it. I'm going to tell a very different story tonight than what we just heard, but you know, that's the thing about history. There's a lot of ways to tell it.
For the people who don't quite understand what naturopathy is, I mean, how does this compare with homeopathy, for example?
Well, this reminds me of bugs and insects, something I learned as a kid, that all bugs are not insects, but all insects are bugs or something like that. So naturopathic doctors do learn homeopathy. Homeopathy is the second most popular medical system in the entire world today. It was very popular in America all through the 1800s and through the 1900s. But for the life of me, I can't explain it and don't want to try.
Rick Kirshner is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. His presentation tonight at the Havara in Ashland at 7 is called When Healthcare Became Sick Care, The True History of 20th Century Medicine. Join us on the Jefferson Exchange now at 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. 800-838-3760. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. So in terms of scientific accomplishments, though, I mean, things that that are used fairly regularly now. Vaccines, for example. I mean, there's huge dust up about vaccines right now.
This is a 100-year battle. Mm-hmm. And nothing has changed. You can look at newspapers from 1906 and see the same level of frenzy and furor over this thing. And in fact, this is true about a lot of things. This has been a back-and-forth struggle between natural medicine and pharmaceutical medicine for 100 years. And before that, there was still a back and forth struggle between people that what were called the regular doctors that used bleeding and purging and blistering and vomiting and here's a little mercury and some lead for you and some arsenic for you. That was one school of medicine, the Asclepian descendants. Natural medicine all through the 1800s was very popular in the United States. At one point, there were people in almost every household that understood how to use herbs to deal with medical problems.
So the bleeding, the burning, the leeches, was that natural medicine or
no,
was that the science-based
stuff? That's what became science-based medicine. And, you know, it's really interesting to me that this where we're at was foreseen by people that actually signed the Declaration of Independence. Let me share with you this quote from Benjamin Rush. He was George Washington's physician. And
big user of mercury, too, I understand.
Yes, he was. In fact, I would say that you could lay some of the blame for the passing of George Washington at his doorstep. 68 grams of calomel after bleeding him three times because he had a sore throat. What did he die of? Oh, it was the sore throat. Anyway.
Maybe because he had lack of blood going on, yes.
But here's what Benjamin Rush had to say. He said, unless we put medical freedom into the Constitution, the time will come when medicine will organize an undercover dictatorship to restrict the art of healing to one class of men and deny equal privileges to others. The Constitution of the Republic should make a special privilege for medical freedoms as well as religious freedom. So this goes way back. This isn't new. And what is relatively new is what's happened in the last 100 years. There's been a complete takeover of healthcare, and it's been reduced to only sick care. Now, in my imaginings, the best system in the world, all the labels fall away. We actually learn to work together, merge our knowledge, test each other's assumptions. That's an integrated system. And to me, that's the desired outcome of the work that I do and the work that many people are doing in healthcare these days.
But you mentioned there are some people who are going that way, but it sounds like they have to have the conventional medicine seal of approval. First of all, they need to be an FNP or an MD or at least an RN.
Yeah, that's because of the power of the narrative that's been impressed upon us for 100 years. That, you know, there's the people on top of the pyramid. These are the people that hold all the knowledge, all the authority, all the intelligence, all the science. But it's not true. It's a narrative.
They hold the regulatory power is what it gets down to.
That they do hold, yes, the political power and the regulatory power. And where's that power coming from? Well, you know, if I were to sum the whole talk up tonight into one word, the word would be oil. There's gold in Emthar pills, uh-huh. And that gold got there because of the money of John D. Rockefeller, who, you know, when Teddy Roosevelt started busting up all the monopolists, they had to go somewhere. They had a lot of money, and I believe they found a way to take over all these systems, including medicine, education, whatnot, and fashion it in their own idea of how it ought to be. Because they had the money for politics, they had the money for media, they had the money for everything.
So are we talking about big pharma here, mirroring big oil? Are we talking about big oil as big pharma?
I'd say big oil became big pharma. And, you know, Rockefeller had lots of chemical drug companies used to be chemical companies. And Rockefeller invested heavily in all these spinoffs from his oil business. And this guy owned like 90% of the oil and a third of all oil distribution. He owned oil.
Which for the
much.
Folks who don't understand, the Standard Oil Company was broken up, which is why you had so many different names. Soconi, Standard Oil Company,
right.
New York, Ohio.
Right.
And
when it was broken up, Rockefeller's wealth multiplied dramatically. He made money from all the – because he had stock in every company when they split it up. So his wealth multiplied dramatically, and this guy never had enough money. I'll tell his story tonight. It's a really fun story and very fascinating. But at any rate, they actually succeeded in getting control of the medical education, medical licensing, and they had accomplices, and they were able to get this done. And as a result, and just listen to some of this, Americans spent $330 billion on prescriptions a couple of years ago. 89% of Medicare patients take at least one drug a day. 46% of Medicare patients take at least 5 drugs a day. 56% of Medicare patients take medicines prescribed by more than one doctor. 60 million Americans use NSAID, non-steroidal anti-inflammatory disease painkillers. And 1 in 7 hospital admissions is from the adverse effect of that. Americans take 80% of the world's opiate painkillers. Does that sound healthy to you? The pharmaceutical industry spent $24 billion marketing directly to doctors last year on their drugs. And we now know that there's a lot of fraud inside of this industry. There's court cases underway right now with the FDA and the CDC and the top 5 drug companies. So GlaxoSmithKline, Merck, Amgen, AstraZeneca, Pfizer have paid billions in settlements over doctor kickbacks and unscrupulous promotions. The fix seems to be in. The drug companies own the world. They're ruling the roost. I just want to introduce the rest of the story because when you see the story, you realize you have all these other options.
So, for example, when you talk about senior citizens and medication, and this is a common one, that as chronic conditions develop late in life, you end up taking a pill for this and a pill for that. Are you saying then that what we would get instead would be something else? Would they take something else, or would they take nothing and approach it completely differently?
Well, so, you know, one is wait till something goes wrong and then throw something at it. The other is prevent things from going wrong, or when you treat things that have gone wrong, have as your intention to restore health rather than maintain illness. I'll give you an example. A guy goes to a doctor and he's obese. if it's a conventional doctor, there's a very good chance that the doctor's going to do a basic workup on him, and then he's going to prescribe, here's something for your back pain, here's something for your high blood pressure, come see me in a month and we'll check in on how you're maintaining your diseased condition. That's not healthcare, that's sick care. But if you go to a natural medicine doctor, more likely it's to help you restore your health and then learn how to maintain it. Natural medicine doctors take that word doctor seriously. It means teacher. So it's about imparting to people the knowledge they need to stay healthy.
Rick Kirshner, a guest on the Jefferson Exchange, his presentation tonight, When Healthcare Became Sick Care in Ashland. More details on that when we come back from the break. Let me tell you once again, as we go to the break, it is the final day of Spring Fund Drive here on Jefferson Public Radio. And we are sitting right now at $138,682. Many more to raise if we're going to hit $190,000 by tonight. Your pledge of support is urgent and welcome at 888-552-6191 and IJPR.org. Back with Rick Kirshner and you on the Jefferson Exchange in 1 minute. It's the final segment on today's Jefferson Exchange. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. Our guest today is Rick Kirshner. He has ND after his name for naturopathic doctor. He trained in the early 80s, kept his license till the late 80s, and is a critic of modern medicine. In fact, he'll be presenting a program tonight at the Havara in Ashland at 7 o'clock called When Healthcare Became Sick Care, The True History of 20th Century Medicine. You can join our discussion with Rick Kirshner about how medicine is handled in today's world and how we approach it as patients. Join us at 800-838-3760 anywhere in the listening area. And our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. So the concept you were just giving us and the case example, the person who is obese might get from the regular doctor a workup about where the vitals are and then pills to deal with some of the symptoms. Where you're thinking things would be different with a naturopathic doctor because doctor as teacher.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking about teaching people how to take care of themselves. Do you think that's totally been abdicated to the medical profession by most of society?
What's that?
Taking care of your own health.
Yeah, I think the basic idea is if you care about this, you're on your own. But if you want to wait till something goes wrong, we're here for you.
Kind of like your parents' approach.
Like my parents'
approach. Did they smoke and drink and all that stuff?
When I was young, they did all of that stuff. They were part of that Mad Men kind of generation. In fact, I love that show because I get to look back on my own past, my childhood. But yeah, they were into all that kind of stuff, and there were consequences for the choices they made. And by the time they realized there were consequences, they didn't have the motivation or energy to do anything about it. And that's the thing about consequences in nature. They usually take a while from the cause until the effect presents itself. And by that time, it's hard to even connect to the cause. So in natural medicine, we always say that when you're in a dis-ease condition, when you have illness, it's a sign of imbalance in your system. What is imbalance? There's too much of something or not enough of something. So the basic idea is to restore balance to the system. That usually means that the patient has to learn some things about how to live their life differently so that the problem goes away and never comes back.
How do you get past the initial resistance that some people will have, though? Because if somebody has gotten used to thinking, well, you got to get a shot or you get a pill or you get physical therapy or whatever the issue may be, there's this connotation, correct or not, that sticks to naturopaths and homeopaths and alternative practitioners that somebody's going to wave twigs over me or hit me with birch branches or something.
Oh, yeah.
This is something you guys have to dispel on a regular basis.
Well, you know, as a speaker, I'd go around the country back in the late 80s, and nobody had heard of naturopathic medicine. And I would introduce myself, actually, at the beginning of every talk. I'd say, hi, everybody. I'm Dr. Rick Kirshner. I'm not an MD. I'm not a DO. I'm not a DC, and I'm not a PhD. What does that leave? I said this to an audience in California, and a guy yelled, quack. But actually, I am a naturopathic physician. I went to a four-year medical school where I learned that an ounce of prevention really is worth a pound of cure, and if you treat the cause of a problem, you can eliminate the problem. Whereas if all you do is treat symptoms, eventually they kill the patient. If you want to know more about that, come and talk to me. And so people would walk up, they'd actually line up on breaks, and they go, where can I find one of you? Or they would say, is that like Christian Science? Which I thought was one of the most interesting reactions. But I now know why that is, because it turns out that in the vaccine laws, they actually made exception for Christian scientists, and religious exemption is actually connected to their protest against mandatory vaccines. Mm-hmm. So now I get where that comes from. But, you know, we've been propagandized for 100 years about how it is, what it is, why it is, and what we're supposed to do about it when it comes to health. And my story tonight is that there's more to the story than what people have been told. And knowing the rest of the story makes you more informed about what your options are going forward.
Here's another call from Vajra in Sunny Valley. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Rick Kirshner.
Good morning, Jeffrey. Good Hi. Morning, Rick.
Good morning.
Wonderful, wonderful topic. Very important. There's a white elephant in the room, though, for me in terms of integrative medicine. You've painted the picture beautifully for how what a big monster it is and how it propagandizes and takes over the consciousness. But in integrative medicine, to me, it looks like the standard medical industry is taking over and co-opting the alternative, because so many people, like you just said, were standing in line wanting to get this information from you when they heard about it. So many people are turning to it that the big medical industry now is wanting to gobble it up. And the specific example I'd like to give is chemotherapy. I know somebody who just had breast cancer taken care of through naturopathic means, and she's gone to a naturopathic integrative doctor. But he said, you're clean now, he said, but just to make sure, let's do chemotherapy and make sure it doesn't come back. And in my investigation and research, chemotherapy has been for years a fraud, because the survival rate of someone who does chemotherapy and someone who doesn't is really the same. So that's what I see happening. Would you please address that? Do you think that's what's happening? Do you think there's a danger of that? Would you please comment on the medical industry gobbling up the alternative?
All right. Thanks for the questions, Vajra.
Sure, I'm happy to. A lot of people in my own profession have concerns about that. And the way the conventional system talks, it's like, look, it's not medicine unless we say it is. And if we say it is, then we'll practice it. So, you know, it's pseudoscience unless at some point we agree with it. And at that point, it's science and it belongs with us. It's this ownership model of medicine that's pretty strong. But the way I look at it, I think integrative doctors, functional doctors, this is all a good sign for us, because it means that the regular medical profession is greening itself over time. It's starting to notice that there's some more opportunities and options, and it weakens the power of this monopolistic mindset around medicine when their doctors start becoming interested in what we've been holding the space for 100 years.
So it's not necessarily co-opting so much as embracing, reaching outside the confines of what their own.
I think it's the natural movement towards an integrated system that wants to happen. I think that we have so many wonderful options from over 100 years ago that are almost forgotten now, if it wasn't for holding on to them inside of professions like my own.
Like what?
Oh, the water cure. I'm going to talk tonight about the roots of natural medicine, where we got our ideas from, who the people were. But there were some very famous people in Europe in the 1600s and 1700s that were using really simple treatments for serious problems and being very successful in treating them. Sebastian Kneipp was a pastor in Germany who had tuberculosis, got his hands on a book by a guy named Louis Kuhn that talked about the water cure, and tried it, and his TP went into remission. So then he started using the water cure on his parishioners. And then one day a woman, he was giving last rites to somebody and decided, I'm going to try the water cure on them. And they recovered. And so he became known at some point as the cholera chaplain. He was one of the three most famous people in Europe at the time that he was alive. And he's the one that sent the founder of my profession, Benedict Luce, to America to spread the word about hydrotherapy and natural medicine.
Is it just drinking water? What is it?
No. It's the use of the application of water. I'm going to talk about it tonight. I don't want to go too far into it. But it's the use of water therapeutically. Let me put it this way. Hot and cold water have different effects on human physiology. So if you put cold against your skin, when you take the cold away, your skin reacts to that cold by flushing the area with blood flow to warm it up. So you can use those principles to get therapeutic effects.
Okay, let's take another call from Sherry in Grants Pass. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Rick Kirshner.
Hi. It's a very interesting talk, and I go to a naturopathic here in Grants Pass. And because I had colon cancer 5 years ago and had the surgery, had it removed, and they wanted me to do chemotherapy. So I couldn't agree with that. and started going to my naturopathic. And anyway, I've done really well. She's built my immune system up instead of tearing it down with chemotherapy. And, you know, everything that you've said today is just so right on.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks for the story, Sherry. Appreciate that. There must be a few disclaimers here about how far people should try to take stuff into their own hands and deal with naturopaths, homeopaths, or even standard medicine.
Well, you know, we're lucky in Oregon. We've got great licensing laws for naturopathic medicine. Naturopathic doctors and conventional doctors actually work together, talk to each other on occasion. So there's good information sharing on every once in a while. And we've got a lot of options here as a result. But in my opinion, it's always good to talk to somebody who knows more than you when you have a problem that you don't understand instead of trying to figure the thing out yourself, because you may not have the foundation of knowledge you need to make sense of the thing you're trying to make sense of. So I think, you know, having a doctor that you trust is really important in life.
Somebody had called to ask if there's an admission price for tonight. I see it is free.
It's free. If people want to make a donation to the building for letting me do it there, that'd be wonderful. But yeah, the talk is absolutely free.
And you developed this with somebody from the Naturopathic College in Portland, is that right?
I did, with the wife of the president of the National College in Portland, Dr. Susanna Serenko. She's the curator in the Rare Books Room up there, and she read all the original writings and looked at all the historical documents. And when she shared it with me, I was like, man, I got to put this into a presentation. This is amazing.
Presentation is called When Healthcare Became Sick Care, The True History of 20th Century Medicine. Rick Kirshner is a naturopathic doctor. He'll present it tonight at 7 at the Havara on Mountain Avenue in Ashland. And I want to thank you for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
You know, this was a seat. I sat in your chair for one day, so I love getting to come back and visit the chair. And Jeffrey, always great to see you.
It's good to have you here, too. Good to see you.